From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the Magicians. Here's what's happening. Bad weather stopped the much-anticipated launch of SpaceX's first astronaut crew, a flight that would have marked the return of human spaceflight from the U.S. soil for the first time in almost a decade. The astronauts had been scheduled to lift off aboard the SpaceX Cruise Dragon capsule from Kennedy Space Center in Florida to the International Space Station at 4:33 p.m. Eastern Time. But cloudy conditions forced launch operators to stand down with less than 20 minutes to go in the countdown. The Air Force's 45th Space Wing, which oversees space launch operations from the East Coast, had been closely monitoring weather reports at the launch site after Tropical Storm Bertha formed early Wednesday off of South Carolina. SpaceX and NASA will now attempt the test flight at 3:22 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. Boeing Company said it was eliminating more than 12,000 U.S. jobs, including involuntary layoffs of 6,700 people, as the largest American plane maker restructures in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. Let's check in with registered investment advisor Mitch Shedlock on this. Mitch, this is horrible news today.
It is, and the Wall Street Journal said that it was over 13,000, so I think that's probably a little bit more accurate of a number. And I was just going through. Challenger and Gray reported 114,000. These are mass layoffs, cuts, the most on record, and this is because, or partially because, of bankruptcies. Pier 1, JCPenney, J. Crew, Neiman Marcus, bankrupt. Retailers announced all these cuts. It's 114,000 through April of 2020. That's the highest on record. In fact, the previous year record was 100,500 cuts. And we've already, so far, George, 114,000 here through April.
How are we going to pull out of this, Mish?
George, I don't know. And the interesting thing here is the stock market keeps levitating. Every dip is bought. The Fed is doing a lot of printing, trillions and trillions of dollars. So is the ECB. So is the Bank of Japan. So is China. All printing. But, you know, they can print money and they can bail out corporations. In fact, the person that wrote the book, Bailout Nation, slamming what happened in 2008, his company applied for free money and got bailouts. So that's where a lot of the money is going. So the Fed can do these kinds of things, but it can't print jobs, and that's where we're at, George.
That's right, Mitch. Thank you so much. Well, we don't like really reporting on daily death counts of the coronavirus in the United States, but it's going down, so I'm going to report it today. As the virus-related deaths continue to rise, we're crossing the 100,000 mark, they say. They just saw 500 new deaths on Monday, the lowest daily total since March 28th. Then 693 more died on Tuesday, but the numbers are going down. China's National People's Congress, one of its two communist legislative chambers, has proposed drafting a sovereign immunity law to allow Chinese people to sue the American states in court, an act of revenge for mounting litigation against China because of the coronavirus. President Trump says he will sign an executive order on social media tomorrow. The White House press secretary doesn't know exactly what it's going to be. Earlier, the president warned social media giants that the federal government would strongly regulate or close them down if they continue to silence conservative voices amid his flaring battle with Twitter after the platform fact-checked one of his tweets for the first time this week. Let's check in with Howard Bloom, the author of The Global Brain, and get his take on all of this. Are they skirting with the First Amendment here, Howard? What's going to happen here?
Very much so, and it's scary. Here's what happened today. The president put out a series of tweets slamming vote by mail as a Democratic scheme to rig the upcoming presidential election. He said, among other things, that There is no way, zero, that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Mailboxes will be robbed, ballots will be forged, and even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed. The governor of California is sending ballots to millions of people, he said, anyone living in the state, no matter who they are or how they got here. That will be followed up with professionals telling all of these people, many of whom have never even thought of voting before, how and for whom to vote. This will be a rigged election. No way. Now, in fact, the president is wrong when he says that the state of California is sending out ballots wholesale. The state of California is sending out applications for ballots, and there's a difference. And the Washington Post and liberals like me accuse the president of issuing roughly 12 lies a day. So a chorus of voices on the Democratic side of the aisle have called on Twitter for years to fact-check the president. Twitter finally gave in today and posted a fact-checking button below two of the president's more vivid anti-mail-in ballot tweets, and the president went ballistic. This is more than a tempest in a teapot. There are two important issues. One is freedom of speech. The other is the accuracy of the president's tweets. Twitter has allowed the president to make his claims about fraud in all-mail voting in his own words without any editing. That is freedom of speech. Meanwhile, Twitter has put a fact-checking button below two of the president's tweets, a button that leads to a paragraph claiming that, quote, experts say mail-in ballots are very rarely linked to voter fraud, close quote. That, too, is freedom of speech. The president has hit back. He has threatened that he will strongly regulate or close down the social media platforms, presumably Twitter and Facebook, and he has said that he will issue an executive order punishing the social media platforms tomorrow. Those threats are not freedom of speech. They are the beginning of censorship. The president's reasoning for regulating or shutting down Twitter and Facebook, in his words, is that, quote, social media platforms totally silence conservative voices, close quote. That is not true. Sean Hannity is on Twitter. Rush Limbaugh is on Twitter. Laura Ingraham is on Twitter. And Tucker Carlson is on Twitter.
Our show's on Twitter, Howard.
Yeah, so are Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, and Ivanka Trump. Meanwhile, Fox TV, Breitbart, The Daily Caller, and WND almost totally silence liberal voices. Does the president plan to shut down these conservative media outlets, too? Not at all, nor should he. To shut down either liberal or conservative media is censorship. It violates the guarantee of freedom of the press. It violates the president's primary obligation to defend and uphold the Constitution. Then there's the question of accuracy in the president's claim that mail-in voting creates a free-for-all on cheating, forgery, and theft of ballots. The Conservative Heritage Foundation says it has a database of 1,285 proven cases of voter fraud in America. That seems to be 1,285 cases over 20 years or more, which would be 64 cases of voter fraud per year, practically nothing when you realize that more than a billion votes were cast over that period. On the other hand, the Democratic Snopes fact-checking service reports that a team of investigative journalists in 2012, funded by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and the Knight Foundation, found an infinitesimal number of voter fraud cases in elections between 2000 and 2012, a total of 2,068, which equates to about one case for every 15 million eligible voters. Which may be why even the Heritage Foundation, the Conservative Heritage Foundation, admits that analysis by election experts shows that fraud is only slightly more common with mail-in voting than in-person voting at polling places. Only slightly more common. But the major problem here is the threats the president is wielding. Threats of strong regulation, shutdown, and executive order. These are press intimidation. And press intimidation is the very opposite of freedom of the press.
We'll see what he does on Thursday, but I suspect, Howard, he's not going to do anything, but we shall find out. In a moment, two special topics coming up on Coast to Coast with David Horowitz. Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America, in his latest book, which is coming out in just a few days, called Blitz, which is talking about the far left and what they're trying to do with President Trump. Well, as you all know, we normally don't dive into politics at all, but this is a fascinating story. David Horowitz is with us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. David Horowitz with us, began his political career as one of the founders of the New Left in the 1960s and served as an editor of its largest magazine, Ramparts. After a close friend of his was murdered by the Black Panthers, he ultimately found a political and intellectual home as a conservative activist. In 1988, he founded the David Horowitz Freedom Center. That's mission is to defend free societies such as us and Israel, which are under attack by totalitarians, both religiously and secularly, domestic and foreign. He has authored a number of books in his lifetime. Two of them we're talking about tonight, Dark Agenda and Blitz. And David, welcome to the program. It's good to have you here.
Having me.
And you are highly recommended by Christopher Ruddy from Newsmax. He thinks the world of you.
Chris is a great guy, yeah.
Good.
And I don't want to... since Howard is not with us anymore, that was what the most biased and untrue series of comments I've had to sit through in a long time. Let me say, I have a Twitter feed, and on my Twitter feed, every single image, poster that I tweet, every single video that I tweet, and every song that I tweet. I tweet 3 Mark Knopfler songs, you know, of Dire Straits a day.
Sure.
Because he's my favorite musician. Every one of them is shadow banned. That doesn't happen because some individual looks at it and says, this doesn't meet our standards. It's an algorithm. And it's applied to me because I'm a well-known conservative. There's a real problem out there. And there's a real problem. You talk about freedom of the press. It's already destroyed when our press, is a cheering squad for the Democratic Party. And doesn't, it ran with 3 years of this Russia collusion hoax, which has been exposed as a total fraud without dissent on MSNBC, CNN. You can go through all the Washington Post, the New York Times. No apologies by them, but they feel free to anything that Trump says that they disagree with, they call a lie. So anyway, that's my opening rant.
We're going to be into some interesting times ahead, to be sure. Let's talk first a little bit about Blitz, which is coming out in just a couple days. And yeah.
The title is Trump Will Smash the Left and Win, which Chris gave it the title, but it's really about the Trump wars. It's about the way a resistance to Trump was formed before he actually got in office. Was funded by Soros, but the Democratic Party leadership bought into it. And we had the first time since 1860 that a political party didn't accept an election and seceded from our arrangement. We have a constitution which imposes compromise, forces us to compromise. That's what the Electoral College is about. That's what the system of checks and balances is about. It was a check on the passions of the people. The Constitution made the people sovereign, but it distrusted their judgments and wanted them to cool off when they're swept up in these passions. So this was unprecedented. And now we know that it was more than that. Obamagate was a coup attempt to get rid of Trump. They just didn't accept the results of an election, a duly constituted election.
Why do they hate the guy so much?
And it's an indictment, really, of the Democratic Party.
Well, David, as you know, there's some good Democrats there. Why don't they stand up and say, folks, enough is enough. We're going to destroy our party if we keep doing this.
Because they get away with it, because they've got the media. I wonder that all the time. I mean, Joe Lieberman is an honorable Democrat, Alan Dershowitz, Jonathan Turley, and there are a lot of people who vote Democrat who are honest, good people. But I wait for somebody to stand up. Why is this Jew-hating racist, Ilhan Omar, who does fundraisers for terrorist organizations, why did Pelosi put her and keep her on the Foreign Affairs Committee, where she has top security clearances? I think we're at very dangerous times unless the Democratic Party wakes up, and starts acting like an American party again.
What's your take on the COVID virus? Some people think that it was concocted to destroy the presidency of Donald Trump. What do you think?
Well, I think that it was I believe it was invented as a biological weapon in the Wuhan lab.
Yeah, me too.
It certainly was spread to the rest of the world deliberately by the Chinese. I'm appalled at all the Democrats that defend the Chinese. I'm glad to see that they voted for a recent bill that was an attempt to check the Chinese. The way I look at it is this virus affects every American, whether you're a Democrat or Republican.
Yep.
So we're in a war as a country with the virus, and in a war, you come together. I mean, everybody talks about national unity, we got to come together, but the Democratic Party has used the virus to further its war on Trump. People on the left are all exercised by Trump's attacks on Joe Scarborough. But Scarborough, and not only Scarborough, but he's the vice chair of the Democratic Party, I mean, I could go on and on, have accused Trump of murdering 100,000 people. The virus is fought at the state level. The governors of each state control their health systems. If there are people dying from the virus unnecessarily, you hold the governors accountable. The president's job was supply ventilators, supply the masks that Obama and Biden depleted, and so forth, which he did. Anyway, that's where I see the virus.
You're not happy with what's going on in the country these days.
I'm very worried about it. We need a two-party system. You know, my mother was a communist card-carrying. And I can't explain how she came to this conclusion, being a communist. But she said to me, you have to vote the guys who are in out every other election so they don't get too comfortable stealing from us.
Well, part of that was right.
It was right. And so we need a two-party system, but we don't have one right now.
What is it about the president that these people on the far left and the globalists do not like?
Well, here's the way my book opens with, if you remember, Trump gave a speech in the Detroit area. It wasn't actually in Detroit, but a nearby city.
Suburb. Yeah.
Which he addressed to African-Americans and said, what have you got to lose by voting for me? You know, you have no jobs. You've got high crime rates. Your schools are rotten. And they're all in Democrat-run cities. Trump was perceived very early, the left is very sharp about who threatens it, as somebody who would threaten their hold on the black vote. Democrats can't win anything nationally without winning 85% of the black vote. And the Democratic Party is a racist party. It controls every major inner city in America, every high crime area, every killing field, every school system that destroys the lives of black and Hispanic children in the inner city because it doesn't teach them. Half of them drop out before they graduate, and the half of those who graduate are functionally illiterate. And Republicans are too spineless to bring this up. They're too polite. They don't want to embarrass what they really are is they're afraid of being called racists, as Trump was from the outset. For 30 years, he was in public life. Nobody regarded Trump as a white supremacist until he ran against the Democratic
right.
Party.
That he is not.
And they called Bush a racist. They called Romney a racist. They called McCain a racist. That's because they have to keep the black vote locked up. And I, you know, that day is over. Blacks that want to stand up for themselves. I mean, that's why the Biden's statement, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Wow, that was crazy.
Arrogant. And
well, that was almost a political killer for him.
I never thought he would be
He may not be the nominee at all. We're going to take a break here, David. We're going to come back and talk about your latest work as well called Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. That's just ahead. David's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And then we'll take calls with him next hour here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, David Horowitz with us. His book is called Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. David, I will tell you an interesting story, and we'll get into this work of yours. Back in 96, 97, I was doing my local talk show in St. Louis, and a fellow called me up and said, hey, I'd love to get on your show. I'm not getting much publicity for my new website. Are you interested? And I said, give me the URL, and I'll look it up and see if that's something I want to do. And I did, and I looked it up. Newsmax.com, it was Chris Ruddy, and he never forgot.
Wow.
Small world.
I liked the optimism of your opening. I think that's really important.
Well, it is. And I think in the long run, we're going to be okay. It's going to be a tough battle, but we're going to get there. Let's talk a little bit about Dark Agenda. Tell me how and why you wrote this book.
Sure. I wrote this book, I wrote it because Chris Ruddy thought it would be a good idea. It would be a good idea to have an agnostic Jew write about the persecution of Christians. And what I discovered was this. I kind of knew this part, but America was founded, 98% of the people who settled America were Protestant and created the founding documents. We're Protestant Christians. Every freedom that we cherish, equality, liberty, every value, tolerance, inclusion, originated as a Christian idea and actually a Protestant Christian idea. Before the Reformation, you could only get to heaven by going through the Catholic Church and its priesthood. It was the only true church. A big orthodoxy, and to such an extent that if you thought you were going to land in purgatory, you could pay the Catholic priesthood indulgences, then they get you into heaven. The reformers.
I remember that.
The reformers understood that church is a human institution, and therefore it's subject to human corruption. Which is why, by the way, human corruption is why all these utopian schemes are dangerous and will fail, because the people who are supposed to be curing our problems are the same people who cause them. The root cause of all social problems it's not patriarchies or races or companies or classes. It's us. It's individuals. We have bad tendencies, shall we put it that way. Anyway, so these Protestant reformers came up with this idea. They called it was a central doctrine of the Reformation, the priesthood of all believers. In other words, every person created by God has a one-on-one relationship with their creator. It's not mediated through a church or a government or a government-established church. It's one-on-one. That makes everybody equal. It's a radical idea. And it included, of course, black slaves, which is why Protestant Christians and Americans led the world in ending and abolishing slavery. Nobody had condemned slavery morally for 3,000 years. It existed in all societies until Wilberforce and the Protestant Christian white males in England said it was immoral, and then it disappeared. Well, we still have it. It's across the world today, unfortunately. But we don't have any countries that we would consider, no democracies, say, have slavery. So anyway, to me, I immediately understood, therefore, why Christians are persecuted. It's because the left hates America, and therefore they hate Christians. And you can see it in Mayor Pete Buttigieg, this incredible bigot who is always attacking Mike Pence because he's a Christian. When Buttigieg, and you know, and the attacks on Trump also by LGBTQ people is insane. Trump, his acting DNI, Rick Grenell, was the ambassador to Germany, is not only gay, he's married to another male. When Buttigieg came out as a gay, and he and Trump have a global campaign to decriminalize homosexuality in all these countries across the world, of course, mainly Islamic countries.
Mm-hmm. Were they killing you?
He came out and introduced his husband. Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana. He went out of his way to praise Buttigieg.
That's right.
As a great mayor. He's a lousy mayor. He's got, you know, rampant poverty. He's got racial issues in his state. His police force is racist, and he hasn't done anything about it. But Pence, I mean, that was a very Christian thing to do. And, you know, a Washington Post reporter actually investigated whether Pence was bigoted towards gays, and he came to the conclusion that he's not. And, you know, you have the testimony of Grenell also, who was accepted in their household. So he's persecuted Pence by Democrats and leftists and the LGBTQ crowd because he's a Christian.
Are these far leftists?
The idea of a religious liberty is you can think anything you want, but keep it to yourself.
David, are these far leftists going to kill the Democratic Party?
I think they run the Democratic Party now. It's a great tragedy for this country. There are, you know, people like Dershowitz, you know, and Lieberman, but I don't see any. They all voted to impeach Trump on the basis of this garbage, this Russia hoax. And then it became the Ukrainian hoax, whatever, on no grounds whatsoever. They held these secret. Schiff held these secret sessions so that he could leak damaging testimony to Trump and he could suppress testimony that exonerated Trump.
I mean, have you ever
seen... What American is that?
Have you ever seen an administration that has undergone 4 years of this kind of fire? I mean, it's been constant.
Abraham Lincoln. We had a civil war then. We're in a civil war now. We have two incompatible philosophies. You can't believe in identity politics, which judges people first by their skin color, then their gender, then their sexual orientation. Can't coexist with a Democratic Party with a small D.
Well, it's got to change. It's got to come back a little more to the center.
Individual accountability is what we prize. Everybody judged by the content of their character. They all abuse the memory of Martin Luther King by trampling over his central vision, which is that we should live in a country where people are judged on their merits. And since are you in Oregon?
Well, I know the Oregon is where my executive offices are, but
okay,
we're based in Los Angeles and St. Louis, and I'm out of St. Louis right now.
Here's the American idea. When the Portland Trailblazers played the Detroit Pistons, there were hardly any black people in Oregon, and there were no black people in the Portland Stadium where they played, you know, the finals. And the 20,000 white people who filled the arena came to boo the one white guy on the Detroit Pistons, Bill Laimbeer, because he's the enforcer. You can't ask for more than that, that people are judged by their roles, you know, and their contributions and who they are as individuals. I mean, I don't know if Bill Laimbeer in real life.
He was a great basketball player.
He's a brute, but he was very effective. And, of course, they came to boo him.
Well, this
so beyond racism in this country. I mean, I know it's hard for people to listen to that when we have this terrible incident in Minneapolis, by the way, a left-wing city run by an extreme leftist mayor. Terrible thing that happened to this black guy. But you just have to turn on your TV and see everything is integrated. You know, all these ads where you have, you know, integrated couples, white men, black women, white women, black men, white couple, black children. I mean, you could just go on and on. It's so accepted that we have a multiracial society. It's quite wonderful. And yet you have all these people out there as though there's a hunting season on blacks.
Well, but when does it stop?
When the Democrats lose big time. They got to lose in a landslide. Then I think that there will be voices. You know, there were a couple of voices. They had a genuflect to this political correctness, but they had their heads on their shoulders. I can't remember their names, but there were a couple of them. But they none of the top, all the top candidates were America-hating racists.
You need conservatives to pretend they're Democrats and start pulling
something
it back.
Like that.
That's the only.
Well, unfortunately,
I mean, during the year,
Trumpers are them, but they've just completely capitulated to Democratic Party racism.
During the era of John Kennedy, how would you have categorized the party at that point?
Well, John Kennedy, look into his positions. He was a militant anti-communist. He had the largest military buildup in peacetime history. He was for a capital gains tax cut and a balanced budget. He'd be an arch right winger today. That's the way he would be regarded.
And he was working on a civil rights bill before he got assassinated.
Yeah, it was Johnson who instituted.
Johnson got it pushed through, but I mean, it was
exactly. Kennedy's. I forget the name of the guy who was his advisor, who came to him and said, "We have this terrible problem. All these African diplomats, when they travel between the UN and New York, and when they go to Washington, when they cross, I don't know which line, it's all segregated. So Kennedy's, we have to do something about this. You know, they have separate fountains and whatnot." And Kennedy said to him, "Well, can't they fly?" That's what a great.
That was his. That's the statesman. Now, when you talk about destroying Christian America, in your opinion, give me that definition of what you say is Christian America.
Right now, let me just say, it's not the gay community as such; it's the organized gay community. You know, the Human Rights Campaign, GLAAD, these organizations. They are pursuing, they go and they file lawsuits. And when Obama was in the White House, I mean, he was a tremendous supporter of their agendas. They went after the Little Sisters of the Poor. The Little Sisters of the Poor is a good example. It's an organization of nuns dating back to the 16th century, and they take care of elderly women. That's their mission, elderly poor women.
Why go after them?
And they insisted under Obamacare mandates that they distribute condoms. The people they're taking for the men, nuns are celibate, and the people they're taking care of are elderly. They're way beyond child-rearing. They did it just to persecute them. There's no other reason. They forced them to fight a battle that went up to the Supreme Court, cost a lot of money. The Colorado baker, these gays came in, they wanted a cake. He said you could have any cake in the store, but they asked for a cake that celebrated gay marriage and went against his religious principles. He told them of a baker who would bake the cake for them. He said, "You can have any other cake. I don't bake Halloween cakes because it's against my religious principles." And, you know, they took him to court. And he's still in battles with them. I mean, it's just, it went right up to the Supreme Court. It destroyed his business, or half of his business.
Well, but are you saying it's his right because it was his store?
It's his right to his opinion. Yeah, I don't think that private. Here's the thing.
Because I mean, he may have been wrong.
If a guy is a bigot and runs a store, the remedy for that is people say, I'm not going to shop in a bigot
right,
store.
Right, exactly.
That's the remedy. You don't have the government come in with its sledgehammers. And these gay organizations, you know, since you asked me about the virus, I did an early article on the AIDS epidemic. And these gay organizations destroyed the public health system at the time. There was no contact tracing. There was no testing for the virus. They said that was homophobic and would isolate gays. And they persuaded Everett Koop, was the Surgeon General, to conduct a $100 million campaign saying AIDS was an equal opportunity virus. It wasn't. The sexual transmission of AIDS, 95% of it was transmitted to people who were passive, you know, through passive anal sex.
Well, let's not go there.
And killed 500,000 young gay, healthy gay men. And I watched this happen, and there was, I've never felt so powerless in my life. Republicans, of course, didn't want to even talk about AIDS because they didn't want to be called homophobes, which they're called anyway. Republicans are such pussies.
You can't say that here. You can't say that. David, I'm under certain restrictions.
All right. I withdraw that. They are spineless.
But, you know, we're back to religion. And, I don't want to spend my whole show talking about the rights of gays and stuff like that. You claim that religion is under fire.
It's a basic issue of tolerance. You can't have the Supreme Court? I mean, overnight they declared, for example, just to take a very volatile issue, abortion, to be a right, right up to birth and down the Democratic Party, even after birth, kill the infant. Who gave them the Supreme Court? What power? It's nine lawyers appointed for life by politicians. Now, how could that go wrong? And so they invented this right by which they did this and invaded every religious community in the United States overnight. They became outlaws, basically, for their views. That's not the American way. It should have been done through the legislatures. We need to tolerate people, you know, who we hate. You know, we shouldn't be hating people, but we need to be tolerant of people who disagree with us. And that's what America's about.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen anymore. You cannot talk to people about any issue anymore without people getting upset, screaming, yelling. We're going to come back and take some phone calls with David Horowitz. His book is called Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. And his other book that's coming out on June 2nd is called Blitz.